Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
And she's back.
And I'm back.
How you
I
feeling,
choose
man?
Life. I'm good.
You sure?
Positive.
Yeah, it's like the perfect storm for you the last couple of days, huh?
So last week, my son got sent home a letter, and it's the dreaded letter that no parent wants to get. And it's like, hi, we are just informing you that a child has tested positive for strep in your child's class, meaning they have been exposed. And I'm like, well, isn't that neat? And Jimmy's had like some funk. He's got like the green snot and stuff like that, but he never got strep. However, my husband went to urgent care on Monday because he was feeling wonky. And sure enough, he tested positive for strep. And I'm like, that's great. So I was starting to feel a little bit like down, but I was like, this feels like allergies. And I know allergies have been bothering a lot of people. And so I went to urgent care on Tuesday out of an abundance of caution just to make sure, tested for strep and nothing. Doctor looked at all the holes in your head, ears, nose, throat. And yes, I was congested, but he's like, I think it's allergies, blah, blah, blah. Do you have medicine? Yes. And then whatever happened from then on just hit me like a ton of bricks. So since then, I got a stupid amount of sleep. I've been taking DayQuil, and I feel like I'm on the other side of it. So it was just some kind of allergy cold thing, yeah. Whatever germ my son brought home from preschool.
I'm trying to convince myself that I'm not allergic, somehow have developed an allergy to Franny's fur, because I don't know what has been going on the last couple of months, man, but when I'm in my house, I cannot breathe, and I'm hoping it's something other than her. She's not going anywhere. We're stuck with each other at this point, but the whole thinking of the whole process of having to go in and the allergy test. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this where they test you, and then it's a real hassle, man. It's a real hassle. So I'm hoping it's something else in my house, or somebody told me it could be ragweed. So I started looking up ragweed, and the pollen counts in Atlanta and ragweed counts are fine. So I feel the same way the last couple of weeks, and I'm taking Afrin now, like just a shot of it every night, and that's been happening for like 3 weeks. That's no bueno.
Do you think maybe it's something that she's like rolling around in outside that she's bringing in? Because people say, like, you know, you're not allergic to horses. You're allergic to the hay that the horses roll around in or eat, or like you're not allergic to rabbits, but you're allergic to the hay, blah, 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 blah. Could it be something she's doing outside?
Maybe when I'm not around, she's having the time of her life, but I have never seen her roll in the grass before. But she might be having a big old party when I'm not around.
Forgot which bulldog I was talking about, man.
Purifiers don't help.
I haven't even gone down that road yet, so I guess that might be something I got to look into also. All right, so let's reset the in-show competition that we are having right now, because I saw a Hail Mary pass on Instagram last night. It is desperation time for these guys.
It is, because we have essentially 7 days. We have 1 week, 7 business days to get this thing done. We have today and tomorrow, and then we have next week, and the competition is over.
It's to who gets the biggest A-list celebrity. Well, now we're just going to reframe that, the biggest celebrity to call in, right? And whoever gets the biggest celebrity to call in gets a week off paid vacation. So the stakes are high right now.
So I have, you know, I have hit up celebrity DMs. I have hit up friends in the industry. I have gone to the publicist, you know, have gone to the celebrity's website and hit up the contact publicist, whatever, and nada. So, desperate times call for desperate measures. I am not above begging and bribing. So last night, while my son was marinating in the tub, because I definitely didn't wash him, I just put him in a soapy tub of water, and I was like, the dirt will come off. I was making my plea in my Insta stories to the Burt Show listeners, because the last time you did this with Burt Show listeners, they came hard with A-list celebrities.
They know, they outside of this studio,
yes,
have a lot of pull with celebrities.
So
they usually know a friend of a friend or somebody works with somebody. But the difference there was, you know, the celebrity was getting a lot more to call in for their charity. So it's a little bit tougher this
time. It is. And, you know, the times are different. So I went on my Insta story and I'm like, listen, full disclosure, I'm sucking at this thing and I need some help. So if you are able to get a celebrity to call in and it is voted the biggest celebrity, you will be compensated. So I'm doing negotiations.
We've gone to money?
Yes.
I mean, you really got to take a look at what week off of paid vacation is worth,
Thank you.
And then if somebody assists you on that, what you're going to pay them is probably minuscule to what you're going to make on that paid vacation, plus memories.
So the Bird Show is paying the celebrity that wins is going to get $1,000 to their charity. So I am doing negotiations in my DMs with Bird Show listeners.
Good for you.
And letting them know, all right, if you get this celebrity in, I'll give you X amount of dollars.
That is BS.
No, it's not.
That is BS.
Why was that BS?
She's figuring
it out. Yeah. Well, that's fine, Kristen. I'm working my magic on my side, too. Yeah, you know how you play that game, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
I'm 1 degree from an A-lister.
Really? So you have somebody that you're on the track of that if they call in, you are convinced you are the winner.
I don't know if I would win. If it were the most popular person today, like with popular culture, there's no doubt I would win.
But
no doubt.
But
you got to factor in the older folks and, you know, the people, everybody voting across the board. It's like American Idol. You know, you get these.
So this is going to be one genre's or one demographic's, like, big celebrity, but maybe not somebody else's. Okay.
Big time.
Okay. So, like, not like a Dolly Parton who crosses over
Not a legend. Okay. She's a legend. She's an icon.
Yeah.
And
but
to,
you say the
to
boomers?
Me, Dolly Parton would beat this person. But if you're looking at sheer volume of coverage pop culture-wise for this particular person, no competition.
So, like, Gen Z and millennials would be excited, boomers not so much?
No. Yes, yes, exactly what you said.
Okay. No, yes, that didn't help at all.
Yeah, what Kristen just said.
Okay. The older folks aren't going to know who this is, but the younger folks are going to lose their minds if this person calls in. They might know.
This person is so in pop culture, they probably know the name, they might know the face. But Gen Z millennials would lose their mind.
Okay. All right. So you guys got another week, right? Today's Thursday?
Yeah. We had 2 days and all next week.
Yeah. And all next week. So if I were you guys, I'd be throwing that Hail Mary same way Kristen is, man. Use what you got.
I was texting people. I texted somebody yesterday that is currently on a set and they responded.
Oh, they themselves or their people?
Set? No, they themselves responded.
Closer to me.
They're on a set and they're filming nearby.
Okay.
All this challenge has taught me is I really don't like being told no.
Telerettic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey. The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
This might go down in history as the world's most dramatic fan meltdown. So, a Colorado football fan is currently suing the NFL for $100 million because he is claiming that he has suffered emotional distress watching Shedeur Sanders fall all the way down to the 144th pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
So you know what's funny about this? I'm just going to bring it here for just 1 second. Do you remember a couple of days ago when we were talking about how we should create a frivolous lawsuit just to bring attention to the Bird Show?
Yep.
I had this idea.
Did you?
And I didn't pull the trigger on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I fully believe, and I don't know that I've heard this philosophy yet, I believe that all of the owners colluded on this whole thing. I think they got together and they said, look, based on what Deion Sanders, his dad, has been saying, like, if he gets picked by this team, I'm going to make sure that he makes such a fuss that they don't pick him. And that his attitude that he went into, Shedeur, with all of these teams, I think somewhere behind the scenes, these owners all got together and colluded and said, let's teach future draft picks a lesson and let's let this kid slide to the fifth round. I believe that in my heart. I don't have any proof about that, but none of this makes any sense at all. So when we were talking a couple of days ago about a frivolous lawsuit just to bring attention to our show, I thought of that one, man. Like, I should sue just to get attention, because you're never going
to
win.
After I heard it, I jokingly thought to myself, I should have did that first, because you're right. Like, as silly as it seems, I read an article that said something very similar, that the truth behind the math of what happened to Shedeur Sanders is, when it comes to quarterbacks, especially black quarterbacks, a lot of owners do not want to take the black quarterback that is supremely confident, that has a legacy, that has a strong backing. They rather take the quarterback who's coming in humble and just wants to learn and adjust to the system. They don't want him to be too much in order to adjust. So a lot of people now feel like it was a lesson.
Is it because they think they can mold somebody if they don't come in with that much confidence and turn them into the quarterback they want them to be?
It's like much easier to bring them in and to get him to play into the system that they want him to play into, as opposed to if you got Deion Sanders backing you have the legacy, you have the fans that are coming, and then the fans could turn on you. So it was like, in order to teach future quarterbacks coming into this situation a lesson, let's start with Shedeur Sanders. And if that's true, I mean, I don't think this is going to be the only guy who will come up with something like this.
So he was expected to go in like the first couple of picks, and then he got bumped all the way to the fifth round and got drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Didn't you say he like said something snarky about that team specifically, which I feel like almost backs up, Bert, your claim that all of the owners colluded to make him go to the team he wanted to go to the least?
His dad said that.
Oh, his dad.
Okay. He used it as an example months before he even got drafted, saying something like, I can't remember what the quote was, but it was a direct shot at Cleveland, like, don't draft my kid.
So I'm all about the conspiracy theories and the speculation, and I'm you know, what you're saying makes total sense, but is there a rule that the teams aren't allowed to talk to each other when it comes to who's drafting who?
It's collusion for sure. I don't know if it's a law or not that you'd all be able to get together and say, look, we're going to control exactly who's drafted. That I'd have to look into. I mean, if you collude in other areas in the NFL, then that's definitely illegal, but I'm not sure about this one.
I think it's one of those things they would just have to prove. You know, I mean, you don't want to admit that it happens, but I'm certain it happens in more cases than Shedeur. The teams communicate, but obviously if you can't prove it, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, so he's accusing the NFL of collusion, slander, even racial bias. Basically, he wants money, an apology, and he wants the draft to actually be changed, how it's completely set up so that this doesn't happen again. Legal experts think that this is going to go absolutely nowhere, but it is very entertaining to see how this is playing out.
Is he attached to any company at all, and is like a media company or a podcast company or anything that he's trying to get any kind of publicity for?
He's being documented as John Doe, so he's totally anonymous, but a lot of people think he's either just a very passionate Shedeur superfan, or it could possibly be maybe Dion behind the scenes, just trying to get back at the NFL just to make a point. All right, Zendaya's celebrity stylist is reacting to another actress wearing nearly the same outfit as her on the Met Gala red carpet. I want to tell you about his shady interview on your next E-Buzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
White people, we say the darndest things sometimes.
You just said it. You just said one.
Yeah, I mean, white people, we haven't historically gotten a lot of things right, but one thing we can do is have a banger of a little saying we can throw into a conversation. Now, I didn't realize there are specific sayings that I guess white people specifically use, sort of like, you're on thin ice or newsflash, buddy, but the adult pod, for context, are these two black guys who were talking about some of their favorite sayings that specifically white people say. And it is hysterical.
White people have some underrated sayings.
They have some definitely underrated sayings. I went to a PWI, so like I got firsthand exposure into it.
I'm a fan of a get a load of this guy.
That's white people.
That's like a whose man's is this?
Yeah, whose man's is this? But whose man's is this is iconic.
But get a load of this guy is like, that's like funny, but it also says a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a hold your horses.
What about you've got some nerve?
I like you're barking up the wrong tree.
Tree buddy?
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
That lets you know, like, you know, you're, because a lot of people might not know what they mean, but are you barking up the wrong tree is like, this is not the right tree.
Yeah.
I'm not the right tree. Which is similar. I'm not the one.
I'm not the one.
That would be the black one.
So are you doing like a translation?
Yeah, because every culture has their own way of saying things. I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think that can be I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly like you're looking in the wrong place.
So there's just so many little sayings that people were sharing in the comments too that people love, like whatever floats your boat.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. This,
my personal favorite. This ain't my first rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
Take a hike, pal. Or you're cruising for a bruising, buddy. Every now and then, you know, we really crush it, us white people with our sayings.
He said something in the very beginning there that I didn't quite understand. What kind of party did he say you went to?
A PWI.
Oh, a predominantly white institute. So like going to UGA as opposed to Howard University.
I got you. Okay. All right, Mo, this theory on why you should or should not, I guess, fall asleep on a plane.
This was interesting to me because I wonder if there's any truth to it. But Kenny Smith, who is on Inside the NBA with Charles Barkley and Ernie and Shaq, who was also played in the NBA for many a years, was on a podcast called Change the Game TV. And he said that he was on a plane once and he was sitting next to a psychologist and he was really tired and he was about to fall asleep. And this psychologist told him why you should never ever fall asleep on a plane.
I met a psychologist on the plane once. And so she's up and I'm tired as hell. And she's like, "You're Kenny Smith." I'm like, "Yeah, nice to meet you. I love your show." I'm like, "What do you do?" She said, "I'm a psychologist."
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, "Oh." So I'm thinking she's going to tell me about my life. She says, "Don't go to sleep on this flight." I'm like, "Ma'am, I'm exhausted." She says, "Try this for me." She said, "When you're in the air," they said that because of the all of the altitude and all of that, your brain makes you think better. So she said, don't watch a movie and don't do emails. Do something creative. Your creative juices are higher when you're in high
like
altitude.
The pressurized cabins or something all of like that.
That's what she said.
Damn.
And so she said, watch how much you get done being in the air. And I started writing the book.
I don't know that I believe this at all. Mo and I had this conversation yesterday. I'm not exactly sure the science about the pressurized cabins, if it's pure air or not. But it feels to me like you're getting more work done because you just don't have nearly as many distractions. So you have a TV in front of you, maybe, right? But how often do you just really sit and work at just one thing without having a whole bunch of different distractions? I don't think it has anything to do with the air on the plane.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know the science behind it as well, because I heard that and I was like, oh, that's amazing. I'm like, wait a second. Is that for real? So not that many doctors listen to our show because, you know, it's the Burt Show. But 1-855-BURT Show, 855-237-8746. If you are in the medical field, if you're in neurology of any sort, and you can tell us if there is any credibility to what this psychologist told Kenny Smith.
I'm not buying it. I've tried it. I didn't try it knowing this information, but I've been creating the majority of my life. So I've sat on a lot of planes and tried to come up with rhymes. I've tried to write jokes. And for me, it's never been any easier on a plane. Like, I've heard people say this about the shower. And the shower actually works for me.
Yes, same.
I was
about to say the same thing. I've come up with some of my best bits and ideas in the shower.
Me too. I've come up with some of the most creative things in the shower.
Sure. I think it's the same theory, is that there's not much to do in the shower, right? Except take care of yourself as far as cleaning yourself. So you're isolated. You're there for a couple of minutes. You don't have a whole bunch of other distractions going on. So now your mind is starting to think.
Maybe it's something to the shower about just completely being alone that helps also. Because I've tried this on a plane, and I wasn't any more creative than I am anywhere else.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, if the plane thing is true, I've got to have a broken brain. Because the only thing my brain is telling me to do on a plane is to house an entire bag of dark chocolate-covered pretzels.
So no pressurized cabin air is not more pure. So, you know, I think that there was a theory also in Vegas when you go into casinos that they're pumping pure air in there. So it gives you like more life and you stay up later and you'll spend more money. But there's nothing to the air in an airplane that should make you smarter and be able to focus more.
I think we've debunked this one.
It sounds so silly.
It does.
You never know what you're watching online, though, and because you want to believe everything. But some of these just don't make any sense right off the bat.
I think people just be trying to get their podcast out there.
I was like, did she show her degree?
No, I don't think he ever mentioned it. She might have just wanted to start a conversation.
Yep.
The Burt Show.
Got to ask you guys a real quick question. Are movies giving me a misconception about kids and parenting? So most movies I'll watch when you're talking about teens or kids, at some point or another, and I can't remember what I was watching. Oh, I was watching Mobland the other day. And one of the teenagers is upset with what's going on in the family, says something really nasty to her dad, like throws like the F you maybe at him or I hate you at him. And she's having like this emotional breakdown and yelling at him, right? And it feels to me like a lot of movies that I watch have this kind of interaction where a teen snaps, yells at their parents. Parents are having a screaming match back at them. So as I was making a post on Instagram yesterday, I realized that I have never had this situation, never, with either one of my kids. They have never been disrespectful to me or my ex-wife, their mom. We've never had a shouting match. They've never called me a bad name and then slammed the door and then walked into their room. And I'm really curious, did you guys ever have that when you were kids with your parents, or am I in a very unusual situation?
Well, yeah, as that never happened when I was a teenager. Okay. No, there was never a screaming match. I never disrespected my parents in that manner. That wouldn't fly in
my
household.
Right, I was scared of my dad. I didn't realize at the time he was like 4'11", but I was 2'6".
Absolutely not.
No,
but
right?
No, my parents didn't play that. You would have been out of a home. To be honest, growing up black, we always thought that was something that only happened in white households. Like, we always thought that. Like, that would only fly. Like, my white friends would be able to do that, but we could never.
I'd never seen it. It never happened in our house. I don't know if it happens with, like, any of Hollis's friends or anything like that, but it seems like it's so forced down your throat in movies that I was thinking yesterday,
The disrespectful teens screaming at their parents and saying god-awful things.
Yeah, and then the parents just, like, either absorbing it or just lay, you know, the kid runs upstairs and dad just goes, oh, that's our kid, right up there. And I'm like, you got your
money. Oh, it absolutely happened in my household. But to me, it's like the argument of, like, you know when women say their ex-boyfriend is crazy and people are like, okay, well, you must be the crazy one. It's sort of like, what did that ex do to make you crazy? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, some people's parents didn't like them, Bert, you know?
That is not true. But it's such an emotional time for kids anyway, and you got hormones going all over the place, so I can see how it can happen.
Is that why you were asking Cassie what the pituitary gland does? Or is that something completely off subject?
Completely off subject. I just got some lab results back.
I was like, oh, that question's now making sense.
No, completely different.
Gotcha.
All right, on the other side of the spectrum, Cassie is in a different stage of life with her kids.
Oh, my God. So what I'm about to say next is so obvious sounding that 90% of parents listening will roll their eyes and 100% of non-parent people will roll their eyes at me. But step into my shoes. If you're a parent, take yourself back to when you had young kids. And if you're not a parent, well, just hang in there. So my daughter is 5, which means this fall she is entering kindergarten. It's a big deal. It's a real school. And that sounds dumb to say, but we went to kindergarten orientation and it's like a real school. So for context, she is in like a pre-K daycare now, right? 14 kids in the class, one classroom, or there are two classrooms for her age. That's it. The school we're going to has 9 classrooms just for kindergarten. It's got kids up to 5th grade. There are like over 1,000 kids in this school. Where I grew up in Louisiana, the way, you know, and it's interesting, and talking to Kristen, I just now realized it's not like this across the country. So where I grew up, like, kindergarten was a separate school, a separate thing. Then you had like 1st through 3rd together in a school, and then 4th through 6th in a separate school, and then 7th and 8th in a separate school, and then 9th through 12th was high school. So to have my 5-year-old with 5th graders is tripping me out. And this is an important lesson for me because I think I am being forced into letting go and letting my daughter thrive as an independent child. But, you know, we're talking to the principal, who is great, and she's saying, like, parents, yes, you can walk your kids to class the first couple of days. Like, they have to go in the school and, like, downstairs and walk around. And then she's like, on day 3, I'm going to be like, uh-uh, you can't come any further. And I was like, you're telling me no as a parent? Which I was like, good. I guess I needed to be told no. But I'm like, what do you mean my child's going to be walking to class by herself? What do you mean she can ride a school bus by herself? Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things, I think, about being a parent that no one ever really prepares you for is, you know, your kid's going to go to school. You know, they're going to get older and you're ready for the milestones like walking, talking, the first time they eat. But no one really talks about the first time they're going to be going into school alone. And I don't mean like you dropping them off at daycare for the first time, because that's traumatic in and of itself for both of you. But when you drop your baby off, and the principal's like, they got to be able to get out the car seat by themselves. And I'm like, well, we don't teach them how to do that, so they don't get out the car seat while we're mid-drive. But I'm like, okay, these are things my child should be able to do. She cannot, so I'm behind as a parent. But it's like forcing you as a parent to acknowledge the fact mm-hmm. that your baby is no longer a baby. Mm-hmm. And not only are they no longer a baby, you need to back off and let them like grow as an independent individual, which I'm all for. I just didn't expect it so mm-hmm. soon. I was like, second grade, third grade, that's when that happens. Until then, I'm going to be the one holding her hand, or her dad is taking her to the classroom. And it's like, nah, bro. And I just was not prepared for this so early, and I wasn't prepared for her to be going to a real school with a real schedule. She has to get there like an hour earlier than she does now, and lunch is like at 10:45 in the morning, which I remember doing when I was in high school, and I'm like, they still haven't fixed this yet? No one wants to eat lunch at 10:45 in the morning.
I'm telling you right now, parents are not rolling their eyes. Their eyes are welling up because they're going back to that time. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy is going to do pre-K at an elementary school, and we did the same orientation. We walked around, did the tour. There's like a real cafeteria with the little seats. And then you go into the auditorium, and then you're walking down the hallway, and there's actually like stairs they have to climb. And as you're taking, I got going into the library and how big the library is. And I was like looking around like, because it takes you back to your days in elementary school, right?
The cinder blocks on the walls and the lines on the floor that you have to walk single file along. And I'm like, God, it feels like within 30 years, something should have changed.
But yeah, I mean, and of course, my husband thought I was crazy because he always thinks I'm crazy. I started to get a little choked up, like, because I'm like, This is like a real school.
Yes.
Like this is like a legit school. He's not old enough to be doing this.
They talk about kids' core memories, but this, as Kristen said, is a parent's core memory also. And all of us have had it, that when your kid gets out of the car or the very first time they're going into school and they're in that line with the other kids, and you're like waving at your kid, and he or she doesn't wave back. Aww. Like they're actually going and they're becoming independent. You never, ever, ever forget that moment.
And I mean, I'm so happy. Like I want this for her. And don't get me wrong, I'm fully behind it. I'm fully supporting it. But again, I feel blindsided, and it makes me wonder what else is coming up.
Oh God. Okay.
You know what she you know what she dropped on me the other day? Let me sidebar for a second. This is what, she's way too young for this. She goes, "Mom, I have a boyfriend." And I was like,
You're never leaving the house. As a guy that's way ahead of you on this whole thing, I got one that's graduating from high school and the other one graduating from college. You don't know this now, but these moments are going to happen their entire lives. I'm struggling with Hollis leaving high school right now and going to college. And there have been 100 of them, 200 of them between what you're going through and what I'm going through right now. It never goes away. Driving, going to high school for the first time, going to junior high. It never goes away.
My God, it's like you only have 18 summers with them or something.
All right, coming up in a couple of seconds. All right, it's Mother's Day, but maybe you've been knocking yourself out a little bit because you've missed some things when it comes to parenting. Everybody has done it. Kristen is going to normalize it. Being a bad mom. Next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mother's Day this weekend, and moms especially, man, so hard on themselves. You can't be perfect.
The mom guilt is real for sure. So that's why this is going to be a womb of comfort for all the mamas out there that have had to miss something of their child.
You mean like my mom missing a decade with me when she sent me to California?
That's a little bit different. Okay. I'm talking about like when I missed Jimmy's Easter egg hunt at school.
Oh.
Because I had to do a speech for Bert's Big Adventure.
Oh, okay. So you're not talking about a decade long cut off.
No. Okay. Yeah, not a 10-year cut off. That's a little extreme.
Okay.
I don't think I would be able to say, "You're doing great, sweetie," after that.
Okay. Because she missed, the thing that she missed was 8 to 18.
Gotcha.
Those are pretty important.
Yeah.
Not formative years at all.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but it hasn't affected me at all.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Yes. Have you sent her the bill for your therapy sessions yet?
She wouldn't even know who it's coming from right now.
All right, so 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. Moms, call up, tell us what you missed, and it's going to be okay. And I'm gonna end every phone call with, you're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. Right. Just like what Chili needed to hear from Coco's mom in that episode of Bluey.
All right, again, 1-855-BIRCHO.
As a public service, The Burt Show reminds you, Mother's Day is only
3 days
away. Don't screw it up, dummy.
I almost screwed that up because I had a count on my fingers.
Are you sure?
Yeah. In my head, I went Thursday, Friday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, three.
Hollis was leaving the house the other day, and I had to remind him that Mother's Day was this weekend. And he's like, what? Uh-huh. It's this weekend? I'm like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah, I think this is a little PSA for everybody out there. If you're still with your baby mama, you need to make sure that you and the kids do something sweet. Or if you are co-parenting and your kids are old enough and they need to be reminded, or even if they're young enough, if you could do something on behalf of the kids for her, I think that would be a lovely, lovely gesture. All right. So again, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8746. So I experienced this recently, and it has happened before. And I think it's just coming to the realization and embracing the fact that you can't be all places at all times.
Sure.
And there are going to be some things that you miss. I am proud to say I made it to all three of Jimmy's baseball games.
Long, grueling season.
How do they do it? How do they go that long without injury?
Man,
three games.
It's impressive.
Well, you know, we missed the first game because it was his birthday. And then we missed another game because it was spring break. And then we missed another game. Because I don't know, there was a reason why we weren't there.
Hey, Aaron Judge's mom had to call one time also and go, look, Aaron is going to be on spring break. Sorry, he can't play for the Yankees this weekend.
But, you know, and I know, especially for the month of May, because it is May-cember, and there's so much going on, especially if you have kids who are in any kind of like school or pre-K or daycare. Like, class photos were this past week, completely forgot about it. Thank God Bart put him in a half decent outfit. When I picked him up from school, I was like, whew, dodged that bullet. And then Mother's Day is, they're doing their special Mother's Day lunch tomorrow. So I'll be at the school tomorrow at 12:20, and the kids made all something special for mom. So it'll be real cute. There's just a ton of stuff going on. But it was recently that he had his Easter egg hunt, and they had the Easter lunch where all the parents come in. And I unfortunately had to miss because I was doing an important speech for a Burt's Big Adventure sponsor. And it was one of those where, like, you're just torn in a million pieces and something's got to give. And so it wasn't like he was there solo. Bart was there. But, you know, I still felt guilty and bad nonetheless. So I'm like, let's make this a womb of comfort. You call up, tell us what you missed, and it'll be okay. And I'll let you know. You're doing great, sweetie.
Will it be okay? You'll only know in another 10 years.
Yeah.
Is it a limit for how many things a mom can miss before it's not okay?
Oh, yeah. Do you, it's like a three strikes, you're out thing? Yeah.
No, there's going to be more strikes than that.
I know with Bird, it was a decade. My mom missed both my album release parties. I'm not over it.
Didn't those just happen recently?
Yeah, the last one, she ditched me for Russell Wilson and Sierra.
Well, that's valid.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
To be fair, they are way more exciting.
They're pretty cool.
Haley, good morning. What did you miss?
Hey, P1 here.
Thank you.
I missed my daughter's first day of preschool because I was giving birth to my son.
You couldn't hold it in, Haley?
Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't.
I think you get the pass on this one, although the oldest might go... Yeah, the oldest might say something later on in life. See, even from day one.
You love that boy.
She does. She's 14, and she does.
Yeah. I think you get a pass on that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Haley.
Pretty valid excuse.
Haley, you're doing great, sweetie. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Jennifer here.
Maybe.
There, you just gotta wait for her to get on hold. There she goes.
Oh, there she goes. She said she missed a lot because she was a teacher. Bless her heart.
Hey, Julie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, Burt. Thank you. So I miss my son's high school graduation walk because I took my mom to the bathroom.
Because you took your mom to the bathroom?
My family came from Miami. My mom from Guatemala. And she's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And they just started. I didn't know because, you know, the last name started with C.
Yeah.
And I took her, I walked as fast as I could. And then when I, Santiago, cabeza.
Oh, no, you're a great daughter, because if the letter was C, mm-hmm. I'd have said to mom, like, you got to wait till F.
That could have been bad.
Right, it could have been bad.
All right, so Julie, is that something you confess to your child, or do you just let them think that you were there and you saw it?
No, I mean, of course it was recorded, and he understood. I told him after months. I didn't tell him the
date. Oh my gosh.
Sure. That's pretty valid.
He wasn't even walking. And this is even more odd. I took, you know, a picture of course, you know, my daughter, she's 20 now. So my husband picture for his high school walk the same way in the same profile, and if you look at the both picture, it's like the same person in walking, even the just the side, you know.
Wow.
I just love your little laugh. I appreciate you calling. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye bye.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We finally have answers. It was the great Met Gala mystery. Mm. Did Lisa from Blackpink have Rosa Parks on her panties?
We need to know.
Sounds like the strangest sentence you're going to hear today.
Inquiry minds had to know. And finally, we have a statement that says that despite the fact that Lisa from Blackpink wearing Louis Vuitton and having all these women embroidered into her outfit that a lot of people on Twitter and social media thought were women of color from history. A lot of people thought that was the message they were trying to get out because the whole theme was celebrating black dandyism. Apparently, it's just the designers like neighbors. It's literally what? No one relevant. Mm-hmm. So the statement that just came out says the figure featured in Lisa's Louis Vuitton look is not Rosa Parks, but one of Henry's, one of the designers' neighbors.
Do we think, like, that is so random? Do we think that maybe it actually was Rosa Parks and then they started seeing some backlash and they came up with this story to cover it?
Well, here's what the statement also says. The faces seen on this look, as well as previous Louis Vuitton garments featuring Henry Taylor's artwork, are all drawn from his personal life. Family members, friends, and neighbors. These figures come directly from his existing artworks.
Okay. Yeah, so this is an artist, and then Pharrell loved the art, so he put it into a fabric and was like, worked with Louis Vuitton to make the outfits. I think it's completely legit. Yeah. I think this is people that this artist knows and did artwork of, and they put it on the garments. Again, because it was on her jacket, it was on the bodice, it was, you know, obviously on the underwear. And while you could make the point that, wow, that looks a lot like Rosa Parks, but it's people he knows.
And there's precedence there, yeah.
I think I speak for Rosa Parks and myself when I say I'm very happy it went this. Very happy.
It would have been very awkward otherwise. Mm-hmm. Another Met Gala mystery that people have been trying to solve is how did Zendaya have the exact same outfit as Shogun's Anna Sawai? If you don't know anything about the Met Gala, this is fashion's biggest night, and Zendaya is like one of the top tier people that everyone gets excited to see because she's such a fashion icon in her own right. And so many people get excited to see what Zendaya is going to wear as styled by her celebrity stylist, La Roche. And I think it was a little bit of a shock to see her go more simple this year. She wore a tailored white suit. She looked incredible in it. She had this really beautiful floppy hat. But then after she walked the red carpet, Shogun's Anna Sawai walked the red carpet in nearly the exact same outfit. Granted, Zendaya looked a lot better in it. But it is drawing so many conspiracy theories that maybe La Roche has an op in his camp, that maybe somebody leaked the designs to somebody in Anna Sawai's camp so that somehow maybe they could take down famous celebrity designer, or not designer, famous celebrity stylist La Roche in this way by basically trying to upshow Zendaya. But he did have a response with Hello Beautiful on the red carpet where he throws a little bit of shade their way when he says that he's just glad that they showed up before them.
Well, I'm with Hello Beautiful. You know we love you here. Yeah. Who helped you tailor your sense of style growing up?
You know what? I really got it from the church. You know, my grandmother and my grandfather really was super. I am dying because she got on the day as well.
I said that. I just said, I said not.
I'm so glad we came early.
That's another thing.
So he said, I'm just so glad we came early. Like, I'm glad we're the ones that walked the red carpet first, because then otherwise it kind of looks like you're copying Anna Sawai. Mm-hmm.
There's an interview that, and I don't know if it's this interview, but where he sees her for the first time walking the Met Gala carpet, Anna Sawai. Excuse me. And the look on his face, like when you talk about a picture, it's like says 1,000 words, just the way he's looking at her outfit, like, you've got to be kidding me.
And audibly he goes, oh, like, oh, there she is. So now a lot of people think that maybe there is somebody working against him, because how the heck does that design come out? And like, it's literally the exact same thing. All right. Tom Brady, the GOAT, is admitting to a parenting mistake he regrets making, and it has everything to do with the entertainment industry. It's coming up on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.